Well, we continue our discussion focusing on Israeli Apartheid Week, highlighting Israel as an apartheid state. And now we're joined on the line by the President of the Muslim Judicial Council, Maulana Ihsan Hendricks, joins us on the line from the Western Cape. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh, your honorable self, Mufti Saab, and to all the listeners of Radio Islam this evening.
The honor is absolutely ours to have you on the line talking about this topic that is so passionate to your heart and to Muslims across the globe, Maulana.
Oh yes, very much important that we continue to remain committed to the cause of the Palestinian people and Palestine as a people who continue to live under the yoke of Zionist occupation, the apartheid system that, of course, is nothing in comparison with what we experience in South Africa. And therefore, this is the time that we nationally add our voices to the solidarity movements and to the activists who prioritize the Israeli Apartheid Week for us in South Africa.
When we look at the situation that is currently in Palestine, or we could refer for the purpose of discussion in Israel, is it really an apartheid state? How would you define it?
Well, from my particular viewpoint, where I am sitting this evening, and my many years of experience of having traveled to the occupied territories and having built up a good understanding of the struggle of the Palestinian people, I don't want to spend another program on Radio Islam or any community radio station trying to define what the apartheid is in Israel. I don't think there should be any confusion around the fact, but I think for the benefit of the South African community, it is important if community radio stations like Radio Islam prioritize this program. And of course, we just remind our people the grip or the very central argument to all of this is the question of occupation. And I think we need to spend a minute or two on the very broad definition of occupation and begin to understand that occupation is a crime. And in this particular instance, the Palestinian people, they are the victims of the crime of Zionist occupation. I also wish to place on the record that when there is occupation, whether the occupier is a Muslim, we will still condemn it. Whether the occupier is Jewish, whether the occupier is a Christian, it is irrelevant to which religious belief the occupier belongs or which ethnic group the occupier belongs. Occupation is a crime, and it is a crime against humanity. And that this is our point of departure. It is just not merely the idea of wanting to accuse Israeli society of apartheid, but indeed apartheid is the most natural flow of the system that takes its very origin from the crime of occupation.
What is the purpose of hosting Israeli Apartheid Weeks across the globe?
Well, I think that the international community owes it to the Palestinian people. And for us as South Africans, it is the type of question that we understand very well in terms of our own historical experience as a people who lived under apartheid, who experienced apartheid, who experienced the brutality of the system of apartheid, who experienced the brutality of dispossession under apartheid, who experienced the displacement under apartheid, who experience segregation under apartheid, who experience the very disposition of the rights of the indigenous people of this country. So it is a question that is very easy for South Africans to answer and to say that yes, most definitely, as the international community have that responsibility towards the Palestinian people, communities like the South African community who have experienced the brutality of such a system should remain in the forefront in making sure that the Palestinian people very soon will achieve the freedom and the liberation, the end of the occupation, and the end of this brutal apartheid system that, of course, is taking the better of the lives of the Palestinian people.
For the benefit of our listeners and those that may have visited and those that may not have visited the occupied territory, Maulana, can you perhaps give us instances of how apartheid is implemented in the occupied territories?
I most definitely will give you some of, and the listeners of Radio Islam, some of the very examples and the personal experience that I have seen in the many visits over there, without going into an academic philosophical approach of whether it is apartheid or not. But we have seen that the Palestinian people from 1948 till now have systematically gone through the process of dispossession. And whilst we are on the question of disposition, I would wish to advise the listeners of this program this evening to place their hands on the very good reading, very impressive reading and analysis of the late Edward Said, the Palestinian academic, who wrote amongst the many books that he wrote, one of the books that he wrote, and particularly for the international community to have a better understanding of the system of apartheid and the crime of occupation that the Palestinian people continue to experience, is to read the book by the title, The Politics of Dispossession. And again, I want to emphasize, politics of dispossession is not difficult for the South African people to experience, because Zionism and the occupation of the Zionists and the apartheid system of South Africa is twin brothers of the same ingredients and the same principles as we experience in South Africa. Let us talk about those areas that regulate day-to-day lives. The day-to-day lives of the Palestinian people. For example, in the West Bank, at one stage, and I stand under correction whether it is still like that, and of course we can confirm it with the Palestinian people who live particularly in the West Bank area. In the area like the West Bank, there is approximately 600 military checkpoints. If not 600, at least 400, of which 200 of these military checkpoints are mobile military checkpoints. Now, Honorable Mufti Saab and listeners of Radio Islam, if the life of a Palestinian is regulated through such brutality of occupation, discrimination, dispossession, and apartheid, virtually every 500 meters, virtually every half a kilometer, you have to experience the brutality of military checkpoints. What happens at these military checkpoints? The brutality of this system is that over the years, it just becomes part of another statistic where pregnant Palestinian sisters cannot reach the hospital facilities. And at these military checkpoints, they are forced at times to give birth. And that is facing the barrel of the gun of the occupier. many of the elderly people, barely about a week ago at one of the checkpoints in the West Bank, we have seen how somebody who is in a wheelchair actually gets thrown out of the wheelchair by the military officer. This is the type of brutality that the Palestinian people face on a day-to-day basis. Innocent children who merely want to be in the acquisition of knowledge, who want to acquire knowledge, who want to go to school, who begins to think of a good future, have to go through the brutality of military checkpoints. And the list can go on and on and on and on. And as you know, that sometimes reading it through magazines and the internet is not the equivalent of having personally experienced. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over the many years that I traveled there, I have experienced, and my experience cannot be equated to the Palestinian people who experience it on a more brutal manner, but the little bit that we experienced there leaves me with no confusion that this occupation, this is an apartheid system, and the Palestinian people deserve not only the solidarity of the international community, they deserve all forms of support to bring an end to this occupation and apartheid system.
Maulana, you've very eloquently outlined and put forth the fact that the occupation is a crime against humanity. But if we try to unpack and look at the core of it, what is it that drives one nation to violate the rights of another in such a way?
Yeah, it is very important for us to unpack this type of behavior. And we will understand in our study of the Zionist outlook, the division of Zionism in itself, is that, of course, there are many things that is very central to this ism of Zionism. For example, the Zionists believe that the state of Israel is incomplete without the capital. The capital is incomplete without the temple. And the temple, of course, must be the temple of Solomon to be built on the ruins of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. Zionism thrives on the discriminatory elements. For example, if you refer to the Palestinian people, they will ask you, who is a Palestinian? Where do you come with this term, Palestinian? Palestinian, they, according to them, there does not exist somebody or something like a Palestinian. Where do you come with this term of Palestinian? And then, of course, they are driven by that which they believe makes them a Sha'bul Mukhtar, or Sha'bullah al-Mukhtar, the chosen nation of the Almighty, and therefore others have no right to be there and to even peacefully coexist with them. I think during this particular Israeli apartheid week, prolific writers and visitors such as Uri Davis, who has written a very thought-provoking presentation on apartheid Israel, should be part of the reading material that we have in the homes of all South Africans to have a deeper insight. And now that Uri Davis again is visiting South Africa, and I think tomorrow he will be here in Cape Town, it is important, and I would want to encourage the community, listen to him. He is not a Muslim, of course, because sometimes people want to reduce it to a Muslim-Jewish issue. Here we look at Uri Davis as to be, in fact, a victim, a Palestinian victim, a Jewish victim of the occupation of Zionism and the apartheid system of the Zionists. And so it is very interesting to listen to that voice. And there are many such voices in the Israeli society as they are referred to.
While we focus on the many voices, is there some sort of a change coming about with regards to greater awareness across the globe of the Palestinian issue?
I think that we cannot be too contented to say that we have reached the ideal. We will always have to strive for the ideal. And whilst we are on this particular question, Mufti Saab, it is important to remind South African society, not exclusively the Muslim society, but South African society, in terms of our own achieved freedom and democracy, in terms of our great fighters for our own liberation struggle against the vision of our great founding fathers of our own democracy and our freedom, South Africans enjoy a position that many others, and particularly in the Arab and the Muslim world, can only dream of. And therefore, I want to use this platform again to say we must use it very strategically, we must use it very effectively, because as strong citizens of this country, enjoying the climate of this freedom and democracy that the people struggled for in South Africa, gives us the very positive position to increase our commitment to the Palestinian people. That is one area that we as South Africans, because comparatively, there are many Arab countries, there are many Muslim countries, where Muslims who live in majority Muslim countries do not have the privileges that we have as Muslims in South Africa, where, for example, many prominent Palestinian leaders who have come to South Africa and have seen the Palestinian flag, see the Palestinian kufia, and, of course, they see the type of programs that has been introduced, the level of awareness. I think South African society, and particularly in the Muslim community, I think we have invested a number of years into the awareness, and we have gone to the next level. There are more educated people on the Palestinian coast today in South Africa. There are more and more people who are doing research on the Palestinian question, more and more prolific writers in South Africa are coming to the forefront. More and more South Africans are debating onto the international arena about our contribution to Palestinian freedom and liberation. The social media is very clear, and I think that the South African community does extremely well, and we know that the climate in itself in South Africa is one that we need to be very vigilant against those who are anti the struggle of the Palestinian people for their freedom and their liberation.
Moulana Ihsan, if we have to look at what needs to happen in the world for a significant change to come about in the Palestinian situation?
Well, of course, the Palestinian case is a strong case. There are maybe many similar cases like the Palestinian case, and in fact, I think that if the Palestinian case is used as a model, because I want to make use of the opportunity also tonight to say that the level of the suffering of the Kashmiri people over the years, almost the same time period of the Palestinian people and the Zionist occupation, the community in Kashmir continues to suffer the occupation of an armed force there. I think it is important that not only the Palestinian struggle, the Kashmiri struggle, the struggle of so many people around the world. And so I think, yeah, we use the Palestinian one as a model, but it is for the purpose of the collective outreach to people who continue to experience the brutality of occupation, the brutality of discrimination, the brutality of political disposition, the systems of racism, the systems of apartheid. I think that we need to continuously increase our level of awareness. And there are good signs internationally that particularly in light of the cyberspace facility, telecommunication, it is at its best today. The social media is at its best today. And I think the momentum is gaining or building up greater momentum for more people who are aware of the details of the brutality of Zionist occupation and the apartheid system. And so we need to continue in this particular regard. And yes, sometimes it seems to be a very unimaginable thought that freedom and liberation will come to the Palestinian people. But I'm sure Mufti Saab and listeners of Radio Islam, if 60, 70 years ago, the question of our own freedom and liberation in South Africa was asked to our grandfathers and grandmothers or great-grandfathers and mothers in the South African context when apartheid was at the peak of its brutality, if that question was asked, it would have been regarded as treason against the then apartheid state. And therefore, I think in similar view, we cannot lose hope for the Palestinian people. But the resilience of the Palestinian people speaks for itself. The resilience of the Palestinian people speaks for itself. The endurance of the Palestinian people, the resistance of the Palestinian people, the vision of the Palestinian people gives us great hope that the Palestinian people will soon enjoy their freedom and their liberation, inshallah.
Mullah, as we move towards the closure, what are some of the activities that the Muslim Judicial Council is engaging in throughout this week?
We would love to place on the record our support for the Israeli Apartheid Week campaign that is administered across the South African society, our support for the BDS campaign, the support for all the initiatives that are taking place on the campuses of the universities. Many of our youth activists are very much involved in this. Of course, the Muslim Judicial Council, the Al-Quds Foundation, have already released our support for the Israeli Apartheid Week, as we have done over the years. We have asked our imams in our masajid to continuously address this, the radio programs that is taking place. Tomorrow, Uri Davis will be addressing the Muslim community in one of the masajid in the Mute Street Masjid in the District 6, where, of course, our people experience the brutality of the apartheid segregation, dispossession, and the chapters of having removed our people from places like District 6 and so on. And yes, a number of activities are taking place.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crown all these activities with success, and we continue putting our drops together, and we hope that inshallah it will all culminate with the freedom of the Palestinians, inshallah. Maulana, jazakumullah khair for joining us on the program this evening. Your time was really appreciated.
Shukran, jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Maulana Ihsan Hendricks speaking to us about Israeli Apartheid Week. Maulana very eloquently putting his message across with regards to the various aspects relating to the Palestinian issue. Still to come, we have our clip with regards to Ikmal al-Shiyam, and with that we're going to end off for this evening. The clip are focusing on various aspects of character development.